بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون، صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, we were discussing a majlis of Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullahi Ali of Jalalabad, and last we discussed the point about earning rosy sustenance. Mention was made of Qarun, who believed that he achieved all this dunya through his own skill, his own intelligence. So Azhar Rahmatullah did explain another very subtle point is whatever you are earning is only through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever a person earns, it is only through the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not even for a moment consider that whatever you have earned is due to any excellence within yourself. The walking of your feet, the working of your hands, the looking of your eyes, the speaking of your tongue, are all through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not for a moment consider these to be due to any excellence within you, or that any excellence within you is a result solely of your own toil and effort. Whatever scholarly accomplishments you may have, or excellent as far as ibadat or taqwa is concerned, do not for a moment think that they are the results of your independent efforts. So this is a rule for every person. Whether it is for sake of dunya, whether it is deen, any person acquiring any type of accolade, any type of virtue, it is only through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat you are enjoying, whether it is money, dunya, wealth, whether you have achieved some degrees, some good results, all this has to be attributed only through the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ramadullah says, we can thus summarize what we have said as follows. Allah Ta'ala says, in every situation, keep your gaze fixed on me. Allah Ta'ala says, in every situation, a person's nigah, his gaze must only be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn your gaze away from yourself and direct your gaze towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rule. This is the lesson we are learning tonight. That in anything, any accomplishment, in anything we do, always our focus, our gaze must only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our gaze should not be on our own strength, skill, power, intelligence. It must be only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, Allah is saying, in every situation, keep your gaze fixed on me, turn your gaze away from yourself, and direct your gaze only to me. When you have reached this stage, then at all times, whatever the situation, person's gaze is only towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have reached the stage called fana'iyat. And we have heard this word before, fana'iyat. This is the stage where there is complete annihilation of the nafs. So much so, that irrespective of any excellence, any perfection attained with regard to health, strength, wealth, knowledge, good deeds, treasures, anything, one's gaze is on none of these things, but it is fixed solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One has submerged into non-existence. One has made oneself into dust. As we say in Urdu, apne aap ko mitaya hai. He has finished himself. He has raised himself to dust. He has made himself nothing. We'll just digress to explain this. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great achievement that he was invited on Mi'raj into the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ulama mufassireen write, they explain that on that occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed his fana'iyat, his abdiyat. In some kitab it is written, mentioned that Rasulullah asked, what title would you like? He chose to be abd. If Allah ta'ala says, subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. What a great achievement. We would have put many titles with our names. Any small achievement, we have a whole host of titles before our name, after our name. Here Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah is saying, the person who reaches this stage has reached the stage of fana'iyat. When he has completely annihilated his nafs. So his nigah, his gaze is not on his own efforts, not on his power, not on his strength, not on his health, wealth. One has submerged into non-existence. One has made oneself into dust. Now if a person reaches this type of stage, then if somebody swears at him also, it will make a difference to him. Somebody praises him too, it will make a difference to him. When this person progresses further and reaches a stage, now this is beyond fana'iyat even now. May Allah Ta'ala grant us these stages. When this person progresses further and reaches a stage where he is not away even of his own annihilation, fana'iyat. And so it's, his mind is not even on the fact that he has made himself into nothing. And he has, because this also is an achievement, in the spiritual road towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all achievements and different stages a person progresses through. So when a person reaches this stage where even he's not even aware of his annihilation, own annihilation, he reaches a stage called fana'ul fana. Annihilation of annihilation. As Ajir Rahman says, you understand these terms now? So fana, fana means to finish yourself up. You annihilate yourself. As you see, many are confused about these terms. Please remember, fana, annihilation, does not mean to go and cut your throat. Committing suicide is a terrible sin, which will land one into Jahannam. So don't, you see, finish yourself up, don't go and commit suicide. Fana is that condition where you have separated and isolated your nafs from yourself. Fana is that condition where you have separated and isolated your nafs from yourself. So that its opposition ceases completely. Remember that your nafs is the main culprit in an alliance of mischief makers. Your nafs is the king who has taken shaitan as an accomplice, a wazir. These two, as the Jiraman says so nicely, Badshah means king, and wazir shaitan. They both gang together. We know that Ashar used to mention Rahmatullah Ali, nafs o shaitan dono ne hai kiya mujhko tabah. Both have destroyed me, nafs and shaitan. So nafs is the badshah and the wazir, shaitan. They scheme together to teach one to oppose the orders of Allah Ta'ala. Fana'iyat is that stage where the opposition of this duet, badshah and nafs and wazir shaitan, ceases completely and only the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala remains. So a person, he overcomes this force of shaitan and nafs. This opposition of nafs and shaitan which is trying to draw him towards the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he's reached the stage of fana'iyat now, so this condition now, enables him to seek the pleasure and gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does one reach the stage? Simply as follows. Before you say anything, before you do anything, think carefully, ask yourself quite honestly, will this bring the pleasure of Allah ta'ala or not? Anything we say, anything we do, ask ourselves, will this statement with this action bring the pleasure of Allah or not? Only if you can gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, speak or act. If the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala cannot be gained, abstain. You have in this simple way attained fana'iyat. This is the haqiqat of fana. Hazrat Jiran says, when you go back home, you will be taking with you this fana'iyat in that majlis. So same thing we say now. Allah Ta'ala give us the reality of this. When we go back home now, this is the lesson of fana'iyat. That whatever we say, whatever we speak, whatever we do, first let us ask ourselves, is it bringing the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, or is it drawing the displeasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? If it is going to make Allah Ta'ala happy, then do it. Because this is acting in opposition to nafs and shaitan. Nafs and shaitan will make you do those things and say those things that will make you gain the displeasure of Allah. So anything that will be against that, we'll be gaining the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is fana'iyat. Let us continue. Hazrat Jiran Mazlullah was explaining, if you recall, the verse of the Quran, after salat, then spread in the world, in the earth, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the fadl of Allah. This is what we had mentioned last, and then he digressed in a few other points about earning dunya. When it is necessary, then a person earns first. A person makes the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. And he gave the example, farmers in the morning and people working. In the morning they just wake up, and after they relieve themselves and get ready, and they go on straight to work. They go on to their jobs, their offices, and they do not perform their Fajr Salat. Whereas Allah Ta'ala has commanded us to make our Fajr Salat first. Then we spread in the world. And right in the beginning, this whole majlis started off with what? What intention are we sitting with? If the intention is clear, then a person will find islah taking place within his life. And if islah takes place, then the person will get hidayat, guidance. The intention is corrupt. The person is sitting for some ulterior motive. And as a jinn, when you do some detail, just to be seen with certain group of people, and people will deem him to be pious, and once he gains the confidence of people, then he becomes a trickster. Then he begins to, when he has won the confidence of people, people think, you know, he's with a certain alim, or certain sheikh, certain group, certain masjid, he must be very pious. So then he borrows money. One example he gave, Hazrat Jiran repeatedly says, I'm not just giving examples just out of my hat, I'm giving examples of things that have taken place, things which are real, this is the reality. So he takes a loan and he pays off the loan. Again he takes a loan and he pays off the loan, and people think he's very good, pays off the loan. And suddenly he takes a very big loan and suddenly he disappears. No sign of him. So this is when the person becomes a trickster. He wins the confidence of people. So the niyat has to be correct. From there he went to different other aspects and we came to وَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, and seek the fadl of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he says, in every situation there is the fadl of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This brings us out to another important point. This is an answer to those Muslims who level the criticism at the Maulvis, and they say that the Maulvis only want us to stay put in the masjid. You can't do this, you can't do that, you just sit in the masjid all day. As you see, think for yourself. How can any Maulvi say this when Allah Ta'ala has specifically commanded that after completing your salat, especially Jumu'ah salat it was, then one should spread out on the earth and seek one's rizq and rosy, sustenance. Is it possible for a Maulvi to contradict Allah Ta'ala? Obviously not. So no Maulvi has said, no Maulana is saying, sit whole day in a masjid and just make dhikrullah. No. We just make the statements without understanding what is being said to us. Yes, a self-styled Maulvi may make such a statement. One who just looked up some kitabs at home without a proper ustad, yes, possible. Hazrat Jiran says, you may find that a person has memorized, and he goes again talking about the Maulvi, may Allah make us true ulama and Maulavis, Allah walas. He says, you might find a person has memorized a long person may, you may find that a person has memorized long and involved lectures on the theme of Siratul Nabi. He has practiced very hard to deliver them with great oratory. His oratory absolutely moves the audience. Times they are rolling with laughter, times they cannot hold back. Tears from rolling down their cheeks. The Naath he recites also, the Naath that are being recited, recited with a superb voice. Wah, wah. Audience is charmed. Audience is absolutely captivated. But the moment the person leaves, the moment he leaves, the listeners are all as the same as they were before. Some are enjoying tea and refreshment into some big jalsa. And all in the name of Sirat. Others are busy having sharbat, he says. Others are passing time, talking. Others are conducting their own amusing gatherings. While others are busy sightseeing, window shopping, if there were some stalls or whatever it is. So maqsad has to be right. Intention has to be right. We find ourselves, Buzrug will come and we'll sit in the majlis immediately after that gathering. We hardly even emerge from the masjid and busy gossiping. It is again dunya, making some business deal, talking about A, B, C. Again, it's only riya, ostentation. This was not the case of the Ahlullah. This was not found in the time of Sahaba. A Sahabi is feeling after a majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, spiritually it will make him reach to such a high. That when he goes to his own home, the home of a Sahabi, was so clean and so pure, such a blessed environment his home was, simple homes they had. They did not have palatial homes like how we have. They did not enjoy the comforts we had. They would not talk nonsensical talks like how we would waste our time. The wives were absolutely pious. The family members were pious. But just leaving the majlis of Rasulullah, which made him reach to such a high level, that the moment he goes to his own simple home, which is also a mahol, good mahol of dini mahol, he will say, I feel as though I'm a munafiq. I'm not feeling that same level as I was feeling in the company of Rasulullah. Now what is our condition? That is why we have to be serious, and niyat is correct. Niyat has to be correct. If the niyat is correct, then 110% Islam will take place and will get hidayat. But if you sit with other motives to see how good this person can speak and what an orator he is and how he can make everybody laugh and cry, and we can just appease our nafs, and we're not sitting to find the way towards reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will still be in the same position as we started years ago. May Allah ta'ala help us to spiritually progress every single moment of our life. So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali says that people then will say, what a tremendously successful, successful occasion. According to his niyat, each one has achieved his objective. The hosts have received their share of adulation for inviting the speakers. Those in charge of the arrangements have received their praise for what a good organization. Speakers and reciters have been congratulated on their superb oratory and recitals, of course. They also have been reimbursed for the traveling expenses. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. This is a reality. Do only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us the tawfiq really. We have learned this from our Hazrat Rahmatullah. Allah give us the tawfiq of making amal on these things. And it carries on. So Hazrat Ji says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Speaker also mustn't be just to thrill the crowd, and the people must be sincere. And I heard from our mashayikh, our elders, according to the thirst and the sincerity of the people, the listeners, that is what Allah Ta'ala will put on the tongue, onto the tongue of the speaker. And sometimes he himself becomes baffled how he mentioned these beautiful statements and malfuzat. He didn't strike his mind, come across his mind before. It is because there are people in their congregation who are genuinely sincere and they want to reach Allah Ta'ala. They want to connect themselves to Allah Ta'ala. They want to be the lovers of Allah. They want to be the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of a waaz is for dini benefit. That the hearts of the people be turned away from dunya and be instilled with a yearning for the akhirat. If this is not achieved, of what value is all that praise and congratulations? So a real Maulvi, he can never say, brother, after namaz, stay put and do not leave the masjid. When the Mawla Allah is saying, after namaz, spread out on the earth to seek your rozi. وَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ Seek the fadl of Allah. Now what is the characteristic of seeking the fadl of Allah Ta'ala? This is stated in the words that follow, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah Ta'ala is saying that you should understand that the rozi you are earning is number one, out of my kindness, my fadl. So the rozi a person is getting is through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do not be so involved in your work when you are going to earn a rozi. Allah says, don't become so involved in your work that you forget me. It should not happen that you earn indiscriminately. You should not earn indiscriminately, not taking into account what is jais, what is not jais, what is halal, what is haram. I ordered you to seek my fadl. I ordered you to seek rozi. So how can such a rozi be earned, where a person does not bother about halal, haram? How can such a rozi be then out of my fadl? Moreover, when the time of the next namaz arrives, do not be so involved in earning that you do not remember even to perform your salah. Do not let this happen. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying in the phrase, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Keep remembering Allah Ta'ala. So in the business deal, then too, remember, it must not be something that you involve in fraud or deceiving the person, deceiving the customers. It must not be something that involves in interest or lying and cheating. Many of us don't realize. So outwardly we are pious and we connected to mashayikh and buzughan deen. But when it comes to the dunya just to make a few extra rands, then we are prepared to lie, we are prepared to tamper with many things and change records. This is the reality. We don't realize it because Allah is not in front of us. So when a person is now earning the halal, earning his rozi, make sure it's halal. And he mustn't become so consumed in his business that the next namaz time comes, adhan is called out, and he ignores it. So, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا Allah Ta'ala is saying, O mu'mineen, O musallis, when you set out to seek my fadl, when you set out to seek your rozi, do not become so involved that you do not remember me in your hearts. Remember me in your hearts, not in a cursory manner, but وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا In abundance. The object of this remembrance should be that you are actually aware of what is halal, what is haram, what is jais, what is not jais, what causes grief to others, what brings happiness to others, of what causes harm to others, what brings comfort and ease. This is the way to earn your rozi. Let us ask ourselves, this is how we earn our rozi? How many times we are hurting the next person? How many times we are cheating? So by remembering me in abundance in your heart, then we will see true barakah. Otherwise we will never see true barakah. A person earns little, but Allah gives him such barakah, that he suffices all his expense. Sometimes you find this person traveling, and you wonder how he is doing. And I'm working so hard I can't even, and look at the rand, dollar, everything is gone so expensive. And how he is coming out. Person has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala makes all this thing easy for the person. And if we're doing things wrong in our dunya and earning incorrectly, then we find ourselves seeing no barakah whatsoever. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah says, do you understand? By the tawfiq of Allah ta'ala, the ayat of the Quran Sharif is now being expounded. Kathiran, in abundance, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا This will only become possible if your namaz is also performed in abundance. That is when you continuously perform all your namaz at the proper times, in the proper manner, observing all the adab with proper care. So sometimes the person, mashallah, is earning halal and doing many things which is right, but his namaz is not there 5 times salat. Allah says, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا And what is the dhikr Allah Ta'ala is talking about here? Your salat. That a person has to be punctured with his 5 times salah. So many times a person is studying deen. He's a student of deen. But he's not there for fajr salah. So namaz is a composite dhikr from beginning to the end. Hazrat Shaykh Ramadan elaborates on salat. He says having takbir, tahmid, tasbih, and other dhikr in a specialized form. Also, when you commence your namaz, do you not lift your hands to your ears? Don't you say takbir, tahima, Allahu Akbar? With this motion, when you raise your hands, as the Jirama says, you are actually taking dunya out of your heart, and with the back of your hands, you're throwing behind your dunya behind your back. You are signifying, from this moment onwards, I'm taking the love of dunya and any connection with it out of my heart, pushing these behind me. This act is a deeper significance. This act has a deeper significance. You're demonstrating the practical side of La ilaha illallah. Negation of all deities except Allah. And this is referred to Nafi Ithbat. When you make dhikr, I always mention Nafi. We're negating everything else, everything besides Allah. And we're saying, Isbat only Allah. La ilaha illallah. So that by the motion of your hands, you're throwing all the deities inherent in dunya out of your heart. And throwing it behind you. Pronouncing simultaneously, Allahu Akbar. And Allah is great. Nobody greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Hazrat Jalan explains, you fold your hands and then explains namaz. He says, then the person when he recites it, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When one addresses somebody important, one has a request to make, it is only appropriate to commence with words of respect. Is this not when, what you do when you're writing a letter of request to some important person? Similarly, when speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we start with takbir, Allahu Akbar, tasbih, subhanakallahumma bihamdika. We read, then before the actual request, we first set forth the majestic status of our sustainer. Therefore we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are praising Allah Ta'ala, the most beneficent, the most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Then comes an affirmation, which is followed by a statement of a complete dependence on Him. Iyaka na'budu, wa iyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship, you alone do we seek help from. In these words we are saying, the lifting of our hands and throwing dunya behind us, folding of our hands, the words of takbir, tasbih, tahmid that issued from our lips were only possible through your aid and assistance. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Without your continuous support, we would not be able to make any ibadat. There's some ulama and talaba present in that majlis of Hazrat Ramatullah. As you see, they will enjoy the following subtle points in the phrase, Iyaka na'budu. Na'budu means we worship. So, Hazrat explains that why are we using the word we? You see, only you do, we worship. The question is asked, why is a singular I not used? Why not a'budu? Why na'budu? He explains, he said, point number one, when performing namaz, generally we're reading with jama'at, the imam is reciting on behalf of all those musallis behind him, therefore we use the collective word, we say we, as we are, it's a plea on behalf of all those who are present, so it makes sense. But what if a person is performing namaz alone, like our sunnah and nafil? However, even when we're making namaz ourselves, then too we say iyaka na'budu, it's only one person, I'm reading my sunnah, or nafil, I'm saying, Iyaka na'budu. Oh Allah, you alone do we worship. Now where's the we? Hazrat explains, that brings me to second point, that human performing namaz by himself is not alone. There is a ruh attached to his physical body. The physical body in turn is not a single entity, but it is comprised of the head, the body, the hands, feet, eyes, ears, heart, lungs, so forth, so on. This physical body is covered by clothes, clothes bought with his money, so that his wealth is also attached to him. Therefore we say, we is pronounced we is pronounced on behalf of all the different parts of his body, his ruh, his wealth, all be involved in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. This servant is just presenting this collective whole in front of Allah Ta'ala, from head to toe, what is zahir, what is batin. He's making the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala with this whole entity. He's saying, oh Allah, this body is a mere shell, and the namaz of this mere shell would be meaningless, oh Allah. The plea is, therefore, on behalf of the composite whole, oh Allah. This is no ordinary task. Only with your aid, your continuous support, can this ibadat be correct in all its zahiri, batini aspects. So this is what the person is now presenting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The grandeur of the request is such that it demands such a magnificent introduction, because he's going to make a very special request now. He introduced, he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He showed the fact that he is absolutely dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what is the main request he's making? Ihdina sirat al mustaqim. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. He's saying, oh Allah, I need to tread on the straight path. The path that is completely straight and absolutely perfect. Sirat al mustaqim. Keep me firm and steadfast on it. Let me not stagger, let me not stray, neither to the left nor to the right. Keep me wholly on it, so that my eyes do not look at any wrong. My tongue does not speak any wrong. My ears do not listen to any wrong. My heart does not harbor any wrong. My hands do not do any wrong. My feet does not do anything wrong. He is asking for such steadfastness, istiqamat, that he does not have to stop and think. Automatically, all the functions of his body will be free from wrongdoing. His heart should be so thoroughly conditioned that he walks on this path freely and naturally. He continues, oh Allah, there are many who claim to be on the straight path. Many people say we are on Sirat al-Mustaqim. However, my request is special. I desire the Sirat al-Mustaqim of those who have already received your blessings. Those blessings connected with your pleasure. Who are these special persons? Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. The path of those whom you have favored. In one verse Allah says, who are those people whom Allah has favored? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. The path of the Anbiya alayhi salam. The Siddiqeen, the martyrs, the righteous. Those on whom the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala are showered are the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. Oh Allah, this is Sirat al-Mustaqim I'm requesting. And I'm specifically rejecting the path of those who also claim to be in the straight path, but in reality they have earned your anger. That is the Yahud. And those who are astray, the Nasara and the Mushrikeen. Oh Allah, I do not want the path of these people. My request is for the path of those people, Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin, those who have earned your ni'mat. Having made this request himself, he says, after Waladdalin, Ameen. Ameen means, oh Allah, you accept. Have you understood? Have you now learned how to make namaz or not? Iman has been established. When you make ibadat in this manner, with this mental approach, whether this attitude is maintained afterwards or not, at that moment you have established iman, you have attained ikhlas. Then Hazrat Ramad goes to a lengthy discussion on ikhlas and waham and the doubts we get. This much we should understand. This is our salah. Such beautifully explained. This is how, if we have this, you know, when we're performing our salah, at least in the beginning, have this firm, this how Hazrat Ji explained to us. Inshallah, we'll find our namaz improving. Many people will see that, no, my mind goes away. At least do this much what has been showed to us. Then inshallah, we'll find every other part of namaz will come into play, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.